because it deals with examples of people who in fact knew what it was to live a life that is spiritually minded. And that is no small task. It is not easy to go through this life with your eyes on heaven, with your eyes in your head looking at things through the grid of God's Word. It is not an easy thing because the world constantly and continuously wants to squeeze us into its mold. It wants us to make it like itself. It wants us to stand down and quit. It wants us to give up. It wants us to despair. It wants us to walk away from our God and our Lord Jesus. It wants us to act as if that didn't matter what happened 2,000 years ago today. You know what we see in the Scriptures here is Paul talking to a group of people that he loves from the bottom of his heart. Now, if you could give somebody something that you really valued, what would you give them? Well, when Paul thought of how he could repay the favor, so this is a thank you note to the Philippians. They have sent to make his stay in prison a dark, dank, difficult place to be in that day. More like a dungeon, maybe that communicates better. But the idea is they sent to alleviate his discomfort, to make him to be able to endure what he had to endure as easy as possible. They couldn't be there, but they could send to meet his need. And they not only send stuff, as it were, sweet savors and certain things that are there in chapter 4 we'll look at later, but things for his creature comforts, his needs physically, but also they gave him Epaphroditus, their pastor. We're going to be introduced to him in a little while. And what I want you to see is that when he really wants to reciprocate, and we ought to always reciprocate, you know, when somebody does something nice to us, we ought to try to be mindful to reciprocate. And he reciprocates. And when he does, he draws down, what do I have to give them? And he gives them admonitions, and he gives them examples of what it is to be spiritually minded. Many of us who've been in the faith for some time have heard somebody say at one time or another, that person's too spiritually minded to be any earthly good. And the fact is that happens sometimes, and sometimes people get a little goofy and off to the left or to the right. It happens. People get overzealous about things, and they become a little bit more of a bull in the china shop, and that's fine. We embrace each of us as we come, because we all come with our idiosyncrasies, and we just love each other and hope each of us grows along. And I've been there, and you've perhaps been there too, where you've maybe ramrodded somebody through and tried to get them saved, and you tried to, you know, force the issue, and you couldn't, and you realize, you know, I need to learn some tact and some love and things of that nature. But here's my point. This is not a chronic problem, people being too spiritually minded. The opposite is what's true. We're not spiritually minded enough. We go through our days and we don't even think about God for a big portion of the week. It's not like we realize how real this battle is. The Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that means that if we're going to have any kind of victory in this war, in this battle, which kind of segues beautifully into our concept of Veterans Day, if we're going to have any kind of victory, we're going to have to look to our commanders, we're going to have to look to our leaders, and we're going to have to say, what is it that God would have me do? What does it look like to be a spiritually minded person? And chapter 2 kind of gives us a little bit of that when he says in verse 1, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now he says this at the as a kind of a dovetail from chapter 1, where he told us to walk as walk worthy, if you will. In chapter 1 he says, you know, that we're supposed to walk worthy, or walk in a manner worthy of Christ. And we're supposed to do that in all of our ways. The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to have that dual citizenship thing going on continuously. And then he tells us that the way you do it is A, B, and C. First of all, if there be any consolation, if there be any comfort. And all those things he says, where he says, if there be consolation, comfort, fellowship, compassion, all those things. He's not saying if as if it could possibly not be true. He's saying since there is. You see, what they wanted to do was they wanted to minister to Paul. Here was their champion, and he was chained to a wall somewhere in some faraway city. They wanted to minister to their champion. Don't you want to minister to those who bless you? I mean, for most of us, you know, our dads at one point or another was our hero. And if your dad was hurting, man, wouldn't you just want to be there for him? Some of us have seen our dads go through maybe particular rough times in their lives because they're getting older as we're getting older. I remember when my dad retired from General Motors, and we came on in, and he was up at the lake, and that's where he had a little house up there, and I was sitting there, and we were talking to him, and for the first time I ever saw my dad just kind of weaken you saw uncertainty kind of working around at the edges of his heart and his mind. We went out to McDonald's, and my dad was always the guy who, I got to be strong, he's ready to pick a fight, and he's not a believer, but he has in his mind that he wanted to be in charge and in control, and I always felt like he was like that, But that day, that time, that season, and my heart went out to him. Their champion was Paul, and they wanted to help him. Now, what I want you to see in chapter 2 is there is a key word throughout the chapter, and it's the word mind. We've already been introduced to it out of the gate with verse 2, where it says, be in one accord, one mind, and all that. And he actually uses the word in verse 2 twice, like-minded, of one mind. He's going to say, let this mind be in you in verse 5. He's going to talk about Timothy having a certain kind of mindset. So I want you to see that the key word of chapter 2 is the word mind. God wants us to be spiritually minded. If you and I are going to be thankful people, the kind of people who know how to give thanks, it's going to only come because of being spiritually minded. Because there's a whole lot to complain about. Isn't it true? You can complain about politics. You can complain about your sports team. You can complain about your house falling apart. You know, about time to get everything done, what happens? You got to start all over. It's crazy, Moth and rust corrupt, thieves break through and steal. How many of you have ever been robbed in some way? Car or something? You ever had that? And my car robbed up in Cleveland one day. My window smashed out. Somebody dragged out a bunch of stuff. It cost me money, man. I don't have that kind of money to put on collision tech things. And I had stuff in there that was other people's I had to pay for. It cost me a bunch of money. We had our car rabbits one time again, and it was when the ashtray was plundered. And, then the cops came by, and they took a report. And they said, what do you have in there? And I said, well, we have this, and we have a few of this. I got a lot of my Christian tapes. I thought, that's cool. They're going to get home, and they're going to listen to the tapes, and they're going to be Christian music. Well, so I gave them everything, they checked everything in, and the cops took the stuff that I had left. I never got that back. So it's sitting somewhere. So, we have a lot we could complain about, but that's why it's so important to be spiritual minded. You cannot be a thankful person without a spiritual mind. You can't. And when you look at the scriptures, you find that the godliest of us, of our company as the redeemed, were people who had a thankful heart. And that's why Paul tells these people they need to walk in a manner pleasing of God, in keeping with their testimony in Christ. They need to have the kind of testimony that bespeaks their citizenship in heaven. Now, I'm going to give you 4 things to look at, and they're going to be connected with 4 examples. And first of all, I want you to see that a spiritually minded person is a person who has to have a seeking mind. Your mind has to be in a mindset of seeking. Because what he's telling them is he's telling them out of the gate that if there be any consolation, any comfort, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, who speaks of compassion, he says, you need to be reaching beyond just giving me stuff. You need to fulfill my joy. See, they wanted to help their castle. You need to fulfill my joy. How can you do that? By being of one mind. By being of one mind, by being of one accord. And look at the verse 2. He says that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The word for neo is the word for mind, both places. And the mindedness that he's calling you and me to right here is a mindset. Listen, it's couched in the verse of love. Now, folks, love is not self-centered. Okay? It is not supposed to be. There's a lot of vanity, a lot of self-love going on in our communities, in our society. There's all this self-esteem kind of thing. And I've talked about that many occasions. And what I want you to see here is that if you really want to help those champions that we've had gone before us, want to represent those who maybe want us to Christ, you know and remember who it was that brought you to Jesus. If you want to honor their memory, if you want to honor those who go to war and handle guns and you fight back and keep the evil at bay and give us a chance to be a testimony and have a witness and send forth missionaries and preach day to day and week to week. If you want to honor their memory, the way you can do it is not just by sending money and not just by praying, and those are good things, but it's also by being of one mind, one heart, one accord, and have the same love of Jesus that he has. You see, when he says, when I say Jesus, he hasn't mentioned him yet, but he's going to. In verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was all about love. He was incarnated love. loving the flesh, if you will. And the reality for us is to look into the face of Christ and realize that when He looks at us, it is not a scowl, it is not a frown, it is a smile, it is love, it is tears, it is compassion. He knows how messed up we are, and He loves us anyway. And that's what God calls you and me to. You and I are not spiritually minded till we embrace the doctrines of this book. And the doctrines always lead to a telic end, a teleos end, a culmination. What God is trying to do back in you and me is He's trying to get our eyes off ourselves. He's trying to get our eyes on each other. He's trying to get our eyes on the lost. And He tells us in this passage, since there's comfort, since there's consolation, since there's fellowship of the Spirit, since there's compassion, verse 1, He says, since all that's true, He says you need to be thinking the same way. You need to be focusing the same way. You need to be seeking the same thing. You see, what He's after in them, and He's really setting an example here, is He's telling them that they need to go a little further than just tangible, you know, physical need meeting. They need to really love each other. You know, you can give money grudgingly. You can serve grudgingly. And God says, you need to serve because you have a loving heart. You need to value other people more than yourself. Look what He says in verse 4. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at, and I didn't read it all in verse 3 where He says, let each man esteem other better than themselves. Now, it's interesting. The words there kind of give us a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction. Better than me? Nobody's better than me. I've actually seen people, man, I'll take them. You know, they think they can do anything. And you get a cup. Man, you should have seen Scott last night. Scott was laughing at everybody. He was going to take us all down. But you know what, Scott? Ha! We had a good time. Everybody was getting competitive. And I pick on him because I love him. And the concept is we all got in there. We're like, we're going to win. Wendell and Amy were there. I don't know if they're even church-going people, but they are. That's wonderful. And they're there, and they're in our fellowship, and we're having a good time. And boy, he was just getting frustrated because if he missed one, he was fretting about it before he ever got to him. You're going to ask him a question. He's going to miss it. He was, wait a minute. He says, I got to know, is this what this means? Can I? And he kept rethinking it all the way around the room. He just didn't want to lose. And what we want to be is we want to be good. We want to be the best. I want to go on record letting you know that's not telling you to think other people are better than you. The word literally has the idea of, if you could translate it in its essence, the idea is value them more than you value yourself. And you know why God calls us to that? Because you have to make a decision to do that, because that's not going to come naturally. That is a spiritual decision. You've got to begin to value other people more than yourself. Now that spiritual mindedness is incessant. Okay, that's what that is. Let this mind be in you. It's a present tense verb, and it's a passive tense. It's let it happen. And it's an imperative. You've got to do it. Now, I say all that just because I want you to know how smart I am. No, it's not that. It's not about smartness. It's in the book, and you need to know it. It's passive. God is working in you trying to do this. He's trying to love other people, and you're saying, no, I'm not. The Bible talks about this. It says, don't quench the Holy Spirit, right? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right? We do. You know what is amazing about those imperatives? Don't do those things. Is that we can. Why doesn't He just leave? Because He's committed that He wants. You see, when we got saved, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And what God did was He came and inhabited us. And He just wants to love other people through you. He says, let this mind be in you. It's imperative that you do it. What is the mind? Couched in the verse 2, love. Love. And in order to illustrate it, He says, which was also in Christ Jesus. And many times we come to this passage and we're just awed by the kenosis, which is the emptying of Jesus, how He was God, how He divested Himself of the insignia of His majesty, and how He came down here and He lived a humble life and took robes and sandals and walked and didn't ride and served and wasn't served. We look at Him and we read this passage and we scale the heights, but don't miss the picture. The real picture, the essence here, is an example that He is affording these people about what spiritual mindedness looks like. What love looks like. What does it look like? Verse 5 says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The word robbery literally has the idea of a thing to be grasped onto, held onto with all your might. You ever had somebody try to take something you didn't want to take? Every one of us has been a kid at one time, and we've had our brother or sister or some kid in the neighborhood, and we got something, or we grabbed it and ran, and we're holding it up here, and they're jumping, and they're trying to get it. You know what? What I'm saying is, Jesus was God. He wasn't stealing anything. It was something He didn't think He was necessary for Him. And in the light of His love, He thought, it's not something I need to hold on to, cling to, you know, to hoard to myself. I'm willing to let it go. Now, He was God. And I got to ask, what's God asking you to let go of today? What are you protecting? What is it? Because God's Word says, let this mind, let it, if God wants to, let it be in us. He says, because God's in there and He wants to accomplish something, and if you really want to help your champions and those who you are indebted to, who've won you to Christ, who've nurtured your faith, who've gone before us, who've gone out and served and fought and kept you free, if you want to honor their memory, listen, let this loving disposition be in you also. He says it was also in Christ Jesus. Now, in those verses down through the next couple, you're going to see some things Jesus specifically does. If you'd let your eye fall into verse 6 and following, look for these little verbs that it said. It says He made Himself of no reputation. It says He took the form of a servant. He humbled Himself. This is God, folks. This is God. This is our chief captain of our host. This is the author and finisher of our faith. He says this is what it's supposed to look like in you. Let this mind be in you. Took upon Himself, humbled Himself. Look at this. Became obedient unto death. And why did He do it? The end of verse 11 says, to the glory of God the Father. And so what is it that the spiritually minded person does? It's a person who is a seeking person. A person who is seeking what?